For more information on ancient dragon Zengate and Taigen's teachings, please visit our website at www.ancientdragon.org. Our teachings are offered to the community through the generosity of our supporters. To make a donation online, please click on the link for Just Give on our website.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome.
Good evening.
So I'm very happy tonight to have giving the talk Paula Lazars, who's a member of our board and chair of our fundraising committee, and also is a martial arts teacher. So thank you very much, Paula, for coming tonight to give the talk. Thank you.
Thank you, Taigen. So I'd like to start once again. Thank you very much, Taigen, for this opportunity, for creating such a wonderful community of people in which I could do this. And thank you to everybody here that's listening, because without people listening, I can't give a talk. And I know I will learn more from this experience, and I appreciate the opportunity. As Taigen said, I practice martial arts, and the martial arts are a very big part of my life. And my talk is fed by my experience in the martial arts. Not that long ago, I was reading a book by a master in a different art than what I practice, a Korean martial art, which is not my art, but I like to read different opinions and different approaches to the same kind of field. And one thing he talked about was impediments to learning. And he felt there are three impediments to learning. One being too much desire. The second one being too much knowledge. And the third one being too much ego. So too much desire, too much knowledge, and too much ego. So I wanted to, each one of them could be talked about at length in many different ways, but I wanted to talk about the first one, having too much desire to learn, which really hit me in the face, because I never really thought of having too much desire to learn. Before I go on with that aspect of it, I want to frame this in the sense that I had to really think about this. Do we come here to learn? We come here to practice. But I feel it's safe to say that most of us come here to learn something. We are either learning how to sit zazen, we're learning how to be with other people in this context. We're learning the forms in the temple, the tradition of the temple. We're learning intellectually from the scholars and other people's opinions about their practice. So I think it is safe to say that most of us walk through the door because we have some intention to learn something. When we say, it's easy to say having too much knowledge is an impediment to learning. I think we all understand that. All of us at some point in our life has felt that we know so much no one could tell us anything about something. Honestly, we've all felt that way at some point. Whether it's our parent trying to tell us something and they don't know it, or a colleague trying to tell us something, or somebody talking to something we have good experience on and we know they don't know what they're talking about. So I think it's very evident what that means. Having too much ego, I think also we'll say in casual conversation, oh, you know, that person is so stuck up, they can't learn anything, or they think they know everything. So we kind of understand what that means, having too much ego. But having too much desire to learn and how that could be an impediment to learning. In our cultural context, wanting to learn is considered a very good thing, and trying to instill that desire in each new human being that's born into our culture is a high priority for our parents, for the extended family, and for the teachers who come across that child. We're taught that we should continuously be striving to better our lives. We should continuously be gaining information and knowledge to reach our full potential. We're taught that a thirst for knowledge is a good thing. So we kind of get on that track, and I do think in some ways, if we feel we're the type of person that thirsts for knowledge and desires learning a lot, we're kind of better than the people who we think are lazy. Okay, and that's a whole nother talk, but I just want to say that we have an impetus to learn, and it's considered something that's good, and it's basically rewarded in a cultural context on many levels. But now we come in here in the Buddhist aspect, and we know this word desire because we kick it around a lot. The Buddha tells us in the Four Noble Truths that desire is the cause of all suffering. Desire defined as a longing and craving for something. And we think of it in many ways as, first off, desiring money, desiring cars, desiring material things. And most of us probably came to some reconciliation with that concept. Secondly, we think of desiring a different status or a different place in the world. And then it might get kind of watered down to desiring that the reality of our life right here, right now is different. But we know this word desire in many different contexts. But when we apply it to the desire to learn, what does it really mean in regards to our practice? If we take these three things, for starters, I believe that it's a circular thought. Too much desire to learn leads to too much knowledge, which leads to too much ego. So in that sense, that alone, I was like, okay, this is a circle. This is a dog chasing its tail. But I wanted to look at one aspect on how that circle begins. And I think there's many ways we could say that about having too much desire to learn. First off, I think, and the main thing I'm going to talk about, is that it speeds up our learning. When we have too much desire to learn, our learning becomes accelerated. And what does that really mean? Our learning, I mean, isn't that a good thing? More knowledge, more information, more practice, it's great. So I kind of broke it down. As a teacher, I have to look at it myself in many different ways. So I've thought about this a lot in my own experience as a teacher of martial arts. And I broke it down into three categories specifically for this talk. The first one is what I call the shooting star. So someone who has too much desire to learn basically starts something new. They're really excited about it. They apply themselves as hard as they can. They read everything they could read. They might sit zazen like 3 hours a day, every day. They're meeting everybody in the sangha, let's say. They're volunteering in every way that they can. They're just totally immersing themselves and everything about this new thing because they're just crazy about it, almost like falling in love. And then all of a sudden, poof, they're gone. So I call that the shooting star. They come at it with this so much enthusiasm that at some point that luster wears off. And then we realize it's really a day in, day out process of taking one foot and putting it in front of the other and in front of the other. And at some point, when the newness wears off, it gets monotonous and boring. And that's when we lose the shooting stars. Okay, so that's one aspect of having too much desire to learn and having it impede what you're actually trying to do. Okay, the second one I call the cancel replace. So this is more a term from trading, like when you put an order in to buy or sell something and then you're not getting the price that you wanted, you cancel that order and replace it with a different one. So this one I call a cancel replace. Basically, there are a number of activities that help inform our Buddhist practice, and I already touched upon them lightly. One is the sitting meditation. And again, in each of these aspects, there are all kinds of layers to it. But one is the sitting meditation. Secondly is listening and speaking about the Dharma, reading sutras, chanting the verses, and absorbing that maybe on an intellectual level. And the next one is immersing ourselves in the physicality of the forms within the temple and the community of people together. For cancel replace, when we have too much desire to learn, we might say, okay, Tygen has a lot of great books written on Buddhist practice, so I might be reading one of them, like Faces of Compassion, let's say. So I might be reading one, and I'm like, okay, I'm going to read this for 20 minutes, or I'm going to read one chapter in Faces of Compassion, then I'm going to sit for a half hour. I'm going to let this reading inform my zazen, okay? And I know, like, this is the things we do to help ourselves learn, right? But I'm reading that chapter, and it's so compelling that I can't put the book down, so I decide that I'm going to read another chapter. And it's a good thing I'm doing, because I'm reading about Buddhism, and I want to learn about Buddhism, so it's a good thing. And then it's so interesting, I decide to read another chapter, because it's got to be good, right? Because I'm gaining all this knowledge, and all of a sudden, my dog wants to get walked, and I realize, oh, the evening's wrapping up, and I never had a chance to sit zazen, but it's okay, because I spent an hour and a half reading about Buddhism, so I actually did something for my practice, and it doesn't matter. So this I call the cancel replays. We had the intention of maybe doing some sitting, but we distracted ourselves with other things, maybe an area of the practice that's easier for us to grab at and to immerse ourselves in. And it's different for every person. So some people might sit zazen more, and they might not inform themselves in other ways. So everybody's individual about that, but I call that the cancel replays. You start out in one place, and you just continue to immerse yourself there instead of looking at all the different ways we inform our practice. The last one is the stone wall, and this one is actually probably the most serious one. That our body or our emotional state will tell us if we're moving too fast. Sometimes we might have the intention to sit a lot of zazen, and we do it, and then our body rejects it. Our knees hurt, our back hurts, and I don't mean just like, oh, I'm kind of uncomfortable. Bad pain, sharp pain, pain that lingers with us when we get off of the cushion. This is our body telling us that you're doing too much of this one thing. And then we get discouraged because we want to keep moving forward, but we can't. And the more we keep moving forward, the more pain we're in on the physical side. Some people might experience in zazen a stonewall emotionally or psychologically, where they're doing so much sitting that maybe some kind of event in their life or some emotion keeps surfacing, and it's very painful for them to deal with it. So in some ways, we might be doing too much too soon of the stillness, and our body can absorb the emotional or psychological pain that quickly, and we might need to slow down that process a little bit. And again, these are just different aspects of a much larger picture, but these are some of the things that could happen, I believe, when we have too much desire to learn to practice. So it could be talked about on many different levels, and I'm hoping within conversation some of you will bring up your own ideas about what it can be. But in this circumstance, and in these three ways, I feel that having too much desire to learn actually builds impatience. Mm-hmm. And we know, for most of us, talking about patience is something we're also very familiar with in Buddhist practice. Many of us who sit here have said that it's one of the hardest aspects of our practice, our lives, which is really the same, our practice and our life. And it's the hardest thing to cultivate on many levels. So having too much desire to learn sometimes actually creates a feeling of impatience. And it's actually going, let's say, in the opposite direction of where we're hoping to go. So how do we deal with too much desire to learn, or the impatience to get more knowledge when it might not necessarily be the right thing right now, at this moment? First off, we always go back, in this lineage, the founding teacher was Shunryu Suzuki, and his most famous book is Zen Mind, Beginner's Mind. So we go back to beginner's mind, and what does that really mean? Well, I have, and we all try to figure that out for ourselves. As adults, it's very difficult to really understand that concept because we have a lot of experience and we just can't forget about our experience. But I'm fortunate that I also teach children, and I see the difference in how they absorb information as opposed to how an adult does. One important thing with a child is they don't know what they need to learn. They don't know what they need to learn. All they know is their parents drove them somewhere because their parents made a decision that this is what they need to learn. So once they, and basically they need to learn to be put into kind of a format so that they can learn whatever's been decided upon that they should learn. They also don't know why they need to know what they're learning. So they don't know what they need to learn and they don't know why they're learning it. But we know as human beings, because of our senses, because of the way we absorb information, we have an innate desire to learn. So the child learns whether he's pointed in the direction of something or not by the fact that he's alive and breathing. He's taking in information when he's sleeping. He's taking in information when he's awake. His nervous system is doing this naturally without anybody having to point him in a direction. But we're part of a society. We have values that over evolution, we've determined our importance, so we have to start pointing this human being in a direction. So if we could keep that in mind, we can maybe touch some of that feeling when we're trying to learn how to practice ourselves. One other point about children, which is fascinating, the way they learn language. They learn it just because they're alive, not because they have any desire to learn it. And don't we all wish we could learn another language like that? And they say, put 3 languages on your child before the age of 7 because the brain will just naturally learn and absorb it and they don't have any emotional or psychological barrier to doing it. So if we could touch even a little bit of that attitude, we'll probably be better off for it. Beginner's mind is important because any real knowledge we have has to be acquired organically. Mm-hmm. So all the modalities that we touched upon as part of our Buddhist practice help this organic development to realize itself. And really, if we just surrender to the process that we're in when we come into the temple, all of it, the forms, the talks, the conversation, the zazen, the tasks that we do as part of the community, we don't need to interject our personality into it that much. It's a beautiful creation that we have here that's been developed over hundreds of years, that if we just really surrender ourselves to the process and have faith in our ability to learn as human beings, we will develop a deep, abiding practice that has knowledge within it. Part of developing that is trust in our teachers and in those that have experience around us. And I think for Americans, and again, that's a whole nother talk, but that's very difficult for us to trust people. Mm-hmm. I believe from my experience in martial arts that it's a key to really absorbing an art or a practice is having trust in the experience. And I don't mean the personality of the teacher or whatever that might be, but their experience, that they've walked before us for a certain amount of time and that means they probably know something about what we're doing. Shunryu Suzuki also said, "Everything you do is right, nothing you do is wrong, but you must make ceaseless effort." So we could take that feeling of having too much desire to learn and apply that into day in and day out effort in all the different ways that we could build a practice, not just on the one that for our personality we like to latch upon. Real knowledge about anything comes from learning plus experience. So to wrap up what I'm talking about, I feel that having too much desire to learn impedes our ability to gain experience. experience is something that goes slowly. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't happen overnight. And no matter how much information we give ourselves, we can't gain experience without having that timeline, that day in and day out, one foot in front of the other practice. And even if we don't know that practicing Buddhism, all of us are old enough to know that in some other area of our life. So we could have confidence in that concept. And if you're not sure where you might have that experience, just think about what you've done the longest in your life, and you'll probably find that to be true. So I wanted to wrap up the talk with something else paraphrased from Shunryu Suzuki that he had said in one of his Dharma talks. And the writer of the book I was reading paraphrased it. So I'm paraphrasing a paraphrase, but the intention will be there. Real practice implies more than a scientific search for truth. It has to be subjective as well. It has to be something you can taste. Not something to believe in, but to discover, to experience. Thank you.